So as Sean mentioned, I'm here today to talk to you all about a pretty groundbreaking feature, actually, in Windows Server 8 called the Minimal Server Interface. I'm a program manager on the Windows Server team, and my team has been working on the Minimal Server Interface and Server Core for this release. I think a good way to frame and kind of introduce the topic is really to start with the server installation options for Windows Server 8. And in the past, by past I mean Server 2008 R2 and Server 2008, when you install Windows Server, you have to select what kind of a server you want to install. And the choices were a regular full server installation or a Server Core installation. And in Windows Server 8, the two choices are Server Core, just like in the past, and Server with a GUI. But the difference is that Server Core is now the first option in that list. So I'm going to start by talking a little bit about how Server Core is different in Windows 8, and perhaps give you a little bit of insight as to why that is the first option in the list this time around, as well as how these changes affect driver and hardware development, as well as software development for Windows Server 8, and how you can use the minimal server interface to validate your hardware and drivers using the WHCK. So as I mentioned, before Windows Server 2008, there was always the full GUI experience. There was the full desktop, Internet Explorer, graphical management tools, all there as part of the standard Windows Server installation. In Windows Server 2008, we introduced Server Core, which allowed users to install a smaller set of the components available in Windows Server in order to reduce servicing requirements, essentially have less installed on the server. Because there's less installed on the server, there aren't as many things that need to be patched. There aren't as many things that could possibly be attacked. There are not as many files on the disk, so that means that less disk space is used and fewer system resources are needed to install and start Windows. So that also means that because there is less, there's less to deploy, less to copy, less to manage. And in fact, this effort was so successful that we managed to reduce the number of critical patches that you would need to install on a Server Core box anywhere from 50-70% as compared to a full install of Windows Server with the GUI. It wasn't quite so simple, though. It's not as though we were able to just tell administrators to install Server Core and everything would be great, because there were a couple of downsides to that choice. For one, you had to make this choice at install time. And that means if you chose to go Server Core, and then later you decided that you needed to install some kind of application or service that required IE or Explorer or some component not available in Server Core, you had to completely reformat that machine and reinstall the full server. At the same time, if you started with the full server and you decided that you needed more system resources and you didn't want to upgrade the hardware, or you just didn't need all the stuff that full server provided but Server Core would suit your needs, again, you had to reinstall the whole operating system from scratch. And that kind of is difficult to do. Also, most people are used to managing their Windows servers by remote desktoping in or locally using their computer, their server, and the management tools through the graphical user interface on the server machine itself. If you wanted to do that in Server Core, you had to do pretty much everything, again, through remote desktop, but on the command line through remote desktop. This kind of presents a pretty big learning step. This slide is more of a reference point, and you'll get all these slides. I think they'll be posted tomorrow. But just to kind of go over the patch savings that you would get with Server Core. There are basically two kinds of patches that we consider. Applicable patches are all the patches that are offered to you by Windows Update. Essentially, the way that we determine if a patch is applicable is if you have the file that needs to be patched on the hard drive. So just by installing Server Core, you have much fewer files. So you could see in Server 2008 R2, for example, you would reduce your applicable patches anywhere from 37 to 49%. based on the files that are installed and whether you chose to install only critical patches or all the patches available to you. Then there are necessary patches, which are documented in security bulletins, like the one there. And necessary patches are patches that only need to be applied because the file is on the disk and the vulnerability is exploitable. So, for example, we install GDI as part of Server Core, and GDI is used in the login environment, but it's not used anywhere else. So, therefore, any exploits to GDI that aren't applicable in the login environment might not be necessary for that server. So, in that case, even though the patch is offered, you wouldn't need to install it. So, if you went the extra mile and only installed the patches that were necessary and applicable, you could reduce 40 to 55% on Windows Server 2008, and up to 67% on Windows Server 2008 R2, and up to 67% on Windows Server 2008. That's a huge savings. That means that since Windows Server 2008 was released, you could have gone 26 months without even having to reboot your server for a Windows update, which is pretty good. We're positioning Windows Server 8 as a cloud-optimized OS. And what that means is that we would like deployment to be low friction. Customers are going to want to deploy large numbers of servers very quickly. So it's important that they only need to install what they absolutely need for their particular deployment needs. So we're hoping to reduce and minimize security, serviceability, and resource footprint as much as possible. We also, because there are large numbers of servers being deployed, we also want to enable multi-machine management. So what that means is if I have 100 servers and I want to set up user accounts across all of them, perhaps without using Active Directory, I can use PowerShell and simultaneously execute commands on all of those servers and basically manage 100 machines in the same way that I would manage a single machine. At the same time, I might not want to let go of those graphical management interfaces that I've gotten used to for the past 10 years. So one thing that we are trying to do is extract the graphical interface out of the server and put it onto local management boxes. In other words, you could have a regular client version of Windows 8, install the server management tools on the client box, and then remotely manage all the servers from that single client box. It means that you don't need a remote desktop into all those servers. It also means that the resources needed for that heavy GUI management tool are taken off of the server and put on the client box. We address this first low-friction deployment criteria with Server Core, the multi-machine automation with PowerShell, and the management GUIs with that Remote Server Administration Toolkit, or RSAT, which is available in the Windows Developer Preview and will also be available in the beta release. So we really don't want to make people get rid of that full server UI that they've been used to for so long. And in some cases, it makes sense to keep that on the server. So in Windows Server 8, you'll be able to install the full server with all the UI and all the management tools locally. This is going to be really popular with small businesses that only have a few servers or have small IT staffs that really don't want to learn PowerShell or other forms of remote management. Or in some cases, these IT pros are using servers as their local boxes, and they just need graphical capabilities there. Or in other cases, servers are used as remote desktop session hosts and need all of that UI in order to provide interactive sessions for users. So you'll be able to have the full server UI with the Metro user interface and the App Store and all of that that you would expect in a Windows 8 UI operating system. But because we anticipate that not a lot of people want that Metro-style experience on their servers at all times, we've made Server Core the preferred deployment configuration for Windows Server 8, using RSAT for remote GUI management, PowerShell support with over 2,400 new commandlets, and many more roles and features available on Server Core than have been available on Server Core in the past. We're also introducing a new mode called the minimal server interface, which is pretty much the same thing as the full server UI, but it doesn't have Explorer or IE or any of those associated files. This also means that graphical management tools are not installed by default, but can be installed. And at the same time, you get many of the benefits of Server Core, much reduced patching. The brand new start menu code will probably get patched more frequently than other code that's been around for longer periods of time. So you will have the advantage of not having a lot of the new code on your server. But at the same time, you'll also have the advantage of still being able to run graphical management tools. And the groundbreaking feature is that you can move between any of these modes at any time after installation without needing to reinstall or reconfigure any software. This table, again, is more for your reference, but it kind of summarizes the things that we've talked about so far. Windows 8 adds several thousand new commandlets, the ability to remotely install and configure server roles, an increased number of roles for Server Core in Windows 8 as compared to Server 2008 R2 and Windows Server 2008, and also support for the upcoming release of SQL Server on Server Core, as well as the ability to migrate between Server Core, the minimal server interface, and full server at any time after installation. The way that these configuration levels work is really in a pretty vertical stack. Each level builds on top of the level beneath it. So Server Core is the smallest and simplest installation configuration level of Windows Server 8. The minimal server interface piles on about 4 gigabytes more stuff in terms of dependencies needed to support graphical user interface components on the server. And then Server with a GUI installs about 300 megabytes more, essentially just the Internet Explorer components, Windows Explorer components, and that kind of thing. The desktop experience, just as before, can also be installed separately on top of the Server with a GUI package. That provides things like Media Player, Metro application support, the Windows Store, and so on. The key takeaway, though, is that we really want drivers to work at the lowest level. Because drivers and devices need to work alongside of these platforms and configuration levels rather than on top of them. Here's an example of how somebody can take a server with the full GUI and get rid of the GUI. One PowerShell commandlet, and it's very simple. Because they can change at any time, they might not necessarily have the opportunity to evaluate whether their software is going to continue working or not. Our hope is that customers can expect that their software will continue to work as they transition between these server levels. That said, there is a big difference in the capabilities offered at each server level. You'll notice that many of the components that you would expect to be missing are missing. But there might be a couple surprises. So things such as HTML help, which depend on Internet Explorer, are not available. Control panel applets and MMC snap-ins are not available on Server Core. Even things like DirectX, which is not even in that list, are not available on Server Core. We're positioning the minimal server interface as kind of a compatibility layer. You might have noticed that when I told you what the installation options are for Windows Server 8, I didn't mention minimal server interface as one of them. This is because people have to choose at the beginning to go with either Server Core or with the full server with the GUI. And the minimal server interface is there as a compatibility layer in case, after making their selection, they really can't go with one or the other. It's really a lot closer to full server than you might think. It's only about 300 megs of files, and it really is there to enable administrators and developers to start transitioning their systems from servers with GUIs to servers without GUIs. So it's a great opportunity to remove the dependencies that you might have on the shell and IE, enable remote management scenarios through PowerShell, PowerShell remoting, And in the future, we're hoping that people will continue to migrate towards Server Core so that they can get the most out of their server resources. It also enables higher availability scenarios. Because a lot of services are turned off when the GUI is not around, you can get even though you might still need to reboot for certain things, you'll get faster reboot times because those services don't need to initialize. All the limitations of Server Core and the minimal server interface, by the way, will be documented on MSDN. The documentation is currently in staging, and it'll be posted pretty soon. Should be posted in time for the beta release. But because things like Internet Explorer are not available, certain things just unfortunately don't work in the minimal server interface, even though parts of the functionality are there. So, for example, even though you have the common dialog control available, the open save dialogs, you can't do network browsing because that depends on an Explorer component that isn't available. But you can still mount a network drive through the command line and then navigate it that way. Shell namespace extensions like certain control panel applets like the display control panel are not available in the minimal server interface because those require Explorer to be around. And anything that you can possibly think of that relies on IE, such as links in your UI that open web pages, the web browser control that is very widely embedded in different UIs, even things like the XML APIs and HTML help are not available. At the same time, associations with protocols and file extensions are not available either. And trying to execute them when there is no file association available will not work. We're not stopping people from installing a third-party web browser on their server, and those third-party web browsers are free to register extension handlers for HTTP, file protocols, FTP, you know, all those protocols and file extensions can still be registered. So they might work, but they're just not guaranteed to work. And at the same time, many of the DLL files and libraries associated with these programs are not installed either. So that means things like the MSHTML library is not available. So it's important that if you're shipping any applications and configuration and management tools that are intended to run on the minimal server interface, to check for dependencies, both static dependencies that are linked in your application directly, and any dependencies that are dynamically loaded so that you can try to handle those load errors. Again, part of the documentation that we're going to be posting does contain a complete list of the DLL files that are not available in Server Core and the minimal server interface, so there's two separate lists. We also have a list of the different API functions that are available so that in case you're not sure which DLLs contain the functions that you need, you can search by function. And I just wanted to throw out here, there's a really common tactic that people use to get around this DLL loading issue. You know, I'm going to statically link to my DLL. It's not there. No problem. I'll just delay load everything. Well, that's fine, and you can do that. I just wanted to mention to please be careful if you do that because it can lead to a lot of security issues. Namely, pay attention to the DLL load path because you don't want to be loading DLLs from a source that you're not expecting to load the DLL from that just happens to be named the same. Secured locations like System32 that have ACLs set by default are good candidates. And of course, you'll want to perform pretty rigorous security testing if you're using delay loading. There's lots of best practices around delay loading, and I strongly encourage anyone to go check that out. There's some MSDN articles and also other external articles discussing that. So pretty much the message that we want to get out there is that for graphical management tools and utilities, it's fine if you need the full server graphical shell. It's even better if you only need the minimal server interface. The PowerShell, command line configuration tools, any non-interactive configuration tools, it would be really awesome if they worked on Server Core so that people can remotely or locally, if they had a local Server Core box, manage your devices and any settings for those devices through that way without needing to have any graphical interface installed. And of course, any core functionality, you know, we really want the driver itself and the device itself to work in server core, even if the user interface is not available or installed. One good thing to keep in mind is to give the user a way out when they run into an issue that is not supported in the minimal server interface or in server core. For example, let's say that there was a help link in some configuration wizard on the minimal server interface, and the user clicked on the help link, but there's no browser available. What do you do? Do you just error out and say the operation failed? Well, you could tell the user the operation failed. I have a favorite. A general error occurred. Or even better, there's an error code in the Win32 API. The error message is the operation completed successfully. You know, users are not going to be happy if they click on a help link and they get a dialogue with a red X that says the operation completed successfully. You know, that's just not going to work. So a great idea is to catch the error and then display something helpful to the user, such as help is not available because there is no web browser installed in your system. Navigate to the following URL on another computer, and then display the actual URL so that the user can take action with that error message. Or tell the user to install the graphical user interface or install a web browser in order to get that help link to work. So things like that. Give the user a way out. Don't just tell them it didn't work. Tell them why it didn't work and what they can do to still achieve that scenario, perhaps without needing the user interface. At the same time, we would love if PowerShell commandlets and or command line programs were available to enable functionality at parity with your graphical management tools. So what this means is that for every single possible scenario that you can accomplish with your graphical management tools, we would love for there to be a way to accomplish that from the command line. It's all too easy to fall into the trap of, you know, storing a lot of people store settings in binary formats in the registry and in hard to find places, or even worse, in multiple locations in both the file system and the registry. Some settings are in local user and current machine and all these kinds of things. And so it's really nice to have PowerShell commandlets or command line interface to all these settings so that the user doesn't have to hunt around and manually edit the registry and configuration files if their user interface is not available. At some point, the PowerShell interface almost functions as a GUI, especially when you consider that PowerShell ISE, which features IntelliSense and Smart Completion, is available in the minimal server interface. So that can provide a nice discoverable way for users to get around. Another nice thing to do is to interleave your PowerShell documentation in the regular documentation. That way, people don't have to decide, I'm going to go all PowerShell or all graphical user interface. In some cases, they're going to be doing both. They'll have a graphical user interface, and perhaps that GUI will even work remotely from their client machine. And maybe that GUI, you know, doesn't support multi-machine management, but it can manage one machine at a time. So they might use the GUI, and they manage one server, and then in the GUI it tells them, this GUI is about to execute the following PowerShell commandlet on the server. Well, now that user can see what PowerShell commandlet the GUI generated, copy and paste it into a script, and then write a script that will execute that commandlet on thousands of machines simultaneously. You can see this kind of functionality today in things like Microsoft Exchange, which does this, I think, in the 2007 version and 2010 versions as well. This multi-machine management, we think, is going to be key to the success of Windows Server 8 because it makes it so easy and it saves so much time when you have a lot of machines to manage. There are still other things that you have to be mindful of on the minimal server interface and server core. So for one thing, installers such as Windows installers are supported, but you have to take certain precautions. For example, you don't want any Windows installers that have web browser controls built in because they won't work. On Server Core, it's a little bit more extreme. We only support unattended mode install of MSIs because there is no user interface capability on Server Core for Windows Installer. Same thing for management tools. As little as possible, and probably not at all on Server Core in terms of GUI management tools, and simple command line management tools that get the job done. Now, the way that we recommend certifying your drivers and devices on Windows Server 8 is to use the latest WHCK, which I think will be posted at the same time as the Windows Server beta. The WHCK does work on minimal server interface and on Server Core. There are some limitations to running on Server Core due to the fact that Server Core doesn't have a lot of the services that are tested by the WHCK. We don't recommend that you run, so as you know, or as you may know, the WHCK comes in two parts. There's the part that you install on the machine that you want to test, and the part that you install on the machine that you're, there's like a host machine that kind of interacts with all of the other clients and gets them to run their reports. You don't want to install the WHCK, like the big one, the central one, on Server Core. That one you want to have on full server because you do need HTML available to view the reports. We have not tested the WHCK central server on Server Core or the minimal server interface. But for the computers that you're testing, you absolutely can, and we highly recommend installing on minimal server interface and Server Core and also on full server, because it's great to test on all these different kind of environments to make sure that there aren't any surprises. So there is no unattended install for the WHCK client, I believe. If there is, it might not work on Server Core. So while you can do this on the minimal server interface, you can't do it on Server Core. Here's what I recommend. first, install the controller in the studio on your test server, full server, with the UI and IE and all that stuff. And then for the test computer, you can do a regular install of Windows, but start with the full server with the GUI. And the reason that you want to start with the full server with the GUI is because if you start with Server Core, the installer will not even put the files for the server with the GUI on the disk. And if you later wanted to install Server with the GUI, you need to supply the Windows installation source again, which is a little bit of a pain. If you start with the full server, you get all the files right away, and then you can just pull off, meaning that you won't need to supply the Windows installation media anymore. So install the full GUI Windows, set up the user accounts, the workgroup, whatever you need to run the WHCK program on that server. Once everything is all set, maybe check on the HCK controller to see if that computer is showing up. And when you see that it's showing up, you can go ahead and uninstall the server graphical shell. Either do that with PowerShell, here's the command for that, or through the Server Manager UI, and I'll have a demo of that in a few seconds. You will need to do a single reboot after that, and when you reboot, you'll be in the minimal server interface, which has no desktop, but it does have the graphical logon experience, and when you log in, you'll get a command prompt, just like you would have with Server Core, and also Server Manager will auto-run as well. From there, you can just run your WHCK tests normally like you would do, as though that server was running a full server with the GUI. On Server Core, it's a little bit... Oh, I skipped a step. I'm sorry. After you reboot, you get that command line. You can go ahead and install. You can just run setup off the share from your HCK controller. It'll install just fine. You'll have the Windows Installer UI. It'll have the dialog where you can say, yes, I will allow it to make a firewall rule, all that stuff. And then it will show up in your HCK controller. On Server Core, it's a little bit different. You really need to install the HCK client before you uninstall the graphical shell. to get down to Server Core, you do need to uninstall a different component. It's a little bit of a lower level component. It's one level up in the tree. if you uninstall just the minimal server interface component, which is this server GUI management infra, it'll also uninstall this server GUI shell package that gets you down to minimal server interface, because server GUI shell depends on server GUI management infra. Again, one reboot that will get you down to Server Core. and once you reboot, when you log in, there is the graphical login experience again on Server Core, but when you do log in, there's no shell and there's no server manager, just a command line. And you should be able to proceed as usual with your HCK controller. As I mentioned, though, you really can't install the HCK client on Server Core directly. It won't work unless you install it on the full server and then go down to Server Core afterwards. The reason for this is that the setup.exe for the HCK client actually spawns a lot of different things, and some of those things have not been updated to work with Server Core yet. So if you install it on full server with a GUI and then go down to Server Core, it should work fine. This is kind of what it would look like. So you start with Server with a GUI. I'm not going to go through the whole install process, but the general gist of it is you install the server, making sure to select Server with a GUI option, create the user accounts that you need, install the HCK client first. Then, in your server manager, you go up to Remove Roles and Features, and then select the server that you want to remove the roles and features from. Now, it doesn't matter if you do this on the server itself or if you do it from a client machine with the remote server administration toolkit installed. You can actually uninstall the GUI and reinstall the GUI from any machine that has permission to access this server. But if you were doing it on the server itself, you would see something like this, and your localhost would be in the pool and already selected. But this is a great way to do it, by the way, if you had, you know, if you wanted to, say, do the load balancing WHCK test, and you need to set up, you know, 20 servers to do that. So why manually take them all down to Server Core when you can take them all down to Server Core at once using the remote management functionality? In order to get Server Core, you want to uncheck that graphical management tools and infrastructure. When you do that, it will automatically uncheck server graphical shell and user interfaces and infrastructure, and that means that on the next reboot, you will have Server Core. If you only uncheck server graphical shell, you will have the minimal server interface. There are some Windows components that require the server graphical shell. For example, if you had Media Player as part of the desktop experience installed already on that server, you would be prompted that that feature will be automatically removed as a part of going down to Server Core. Similarly, if you had any of the remote server administration utilities installed, any of the MMC, any of the MMC-based management tools, any of the role management tools, those will all get uninstalled automatically when you go down to Server Core. So you'll get a prompt about that, and it'll tell you all the things that will be removed. If you're doing this from PowerShell, you can give it the dash what if parameter, which will print out in the command line all the things that will be removed as a result of going down to Server Core. So the install will go on, and it takes a couple of minutes, and then you'll reboot. And it takes about 3 minutes on this machine that I used this afternoon to do it. It's a pretty beefy machine, but it has a regular RAID array of hard disks, so it's not like a super fancy SSD or anything. So it's pretty fast. And then when you reboot, you will have just a command line environment. If I had gone down to minimal server interface, I would see this plus server manager as well would be open. Now, before I open up to questions, I just wanted to mention that I did do a VM test experiment And I created about 10 Hyper-V VMs a couple days ago, and I put them all on in a work group, and they all run Server Core. And I ran the WHCK tests, and about, I'd say about 75 to 80% of the tests succeeded. I still need to investigate why the tests that failed. Some of them are pretty obvious. For example, DirectX failed because there is no DirectX on Server Core. But working with the owners of the tests to kind of determine which tests we can expect to fail all the time on Server Core based on the components that aren't available. And when we have more information on that, we'll certainly post documentation and let you guys know. but we are interested for customers and partners and people to try this for themselves and let us know what works and what doesn't work, because we don't have every single possible kind of VM configuration, let alone physical machine configuration. Running this WHCK in a VM environment is certainly a lot different than running it on physical machines. So I'm going to be out of town for the rest of the week, but you're welcome to email me. My email address is on the first slide, which will be available for download. It's benh@microsoft.com. For the rest of the week, you can also contact Sandy Arthur or Sean, obviously. If you have any questions as well, we're happy to help and try to answer those. And I'll also be at the Ask the Experts dinner tonight, so I hope to see you there, and hope that you'll bring lots of good questions there as well. But should I open it up for questions now? Any questions? Sure. So the question is, does Server Core have .NET capabilities? And the answer is yes, it does. In fact, this is an improvement from Windows Server 2008 R2. We do have the full .NET framework supported on Server Core for .NET 4.5. .NET 3.5 and lower is not installed by default in any Windows Server SKU, but it can be installed from the media at any time, including on Server Core. Just to kind of expand on that, we've also made it possible to completely uninstall .NET on Server Core. And that means that you'll lose PowerShell. So this is not really a recommended scenario, but it is possible that someone might really want to uninstall PowerShell. So I've written a couple command line management tools for Windows Server 8. And the way that I've implemented it is as a native binary and PowerShell wrappers. So the PowerShell wrappers can still be invoked remotely, but the native binary is still available and works even if .NET is uninstalled. So that could be something to consider as well. Anything else? Well, I hope you enjoyed and learned a lot from this presentation, and I hope you'll try out the minimal server interface and Server Core in your deployments. Like I said, I will be available tonight at the Ask the Experts, and also happy to answer things by email, and also would love to hear about your experiences with minimal server interface and Server Core. Thanks a lot.